Amen and amen and amen. Why don't you raise your hands and thank God because he set you free. He set you apart. Father, we love you today. We thank you for Jesus who set us apart. Thank you, Father, that you're making everything right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you may be seated. Praise God. Well, glory to God. I guess I'm going to try to continue what I started last week on Beat the Heat. You know, it cooled off a little bit, but the heat's coming back. You know, as we're going through life, we run up against a lot of things. A lot of, you know, and when we're talking about beating the heat, we're talking about the fires and trials that we're calling trials and such as the heat as that the devil brings to us. And you know, most of the time when people are in situations, they talk about the fire they're going through rather than God's promises. They talk about how hot the fiery trials are that the enemy is sending their direction. You know, they moan about how hot it is and having to endure. And they tell everybody they meet about the fire they're going through with all the details. You know, when you continually talk about the enemy's fire, you're actually allowing it to become bigger and more vicious than it really is. You know, if you have a fire, if you starve it from oxygen, guess what happens? Does it go out? Yeah. But if you open up an airway, what happens to that fire? It grows. Right? You see, when the enemy starts coming to you with the fire, the more you talk about the situation that you're in, the problem that you're in, the more vicious it will become because you're fueling it. Oh, you there? All right. I didn't know. Okay. You know, you have to learn not to talk about the problem, but talk about the solution. Now you're putting it out. You know, Mark 11:23 is true. You'll have whatever you say. Isn't that what it says? If you say this mountain, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. You know, if you continue to talk about the enemy's fire, you are opening the door for him just to consume you. You know, how are you going to walk in victory then? We're going to walk in victory because our fire has to be greater than the enemy's fire. Or you could say it this way, you have to be on fire in order to put out the enemy's fire. You got to get some fire of your own. You know, as they battle those forest fires, many times they start another fire, and they call it a backfire, to burn toward the other fire, and it all goes out. Why does it go out? Because they burn up all the fuel that the fire that's coming this way could ignite. Is that right? See, you've got to learn to, you know, you have heard the old saying, fight fire with fire, right? You got to learn to fight the enemy's fire with your fire. Now, where does your fire come from? Comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk about three kinds of fire that you need to have if you're going to walk in victory over the enemy. Number one, you need the fire of God's word. The fire of God's word. Now, somebody, what are you talking about? Well, turn to Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I'll take my time. Make sure everybody gets there. Find it on your device or whatever. And that reminds me, I better turn this thing off. Rest of you, turn your phones off. I just turned mine off. And I forgot to check in this morning. I hope you didn't. All right, everybody got Jeremiah 20, verse 9? All right. Then he said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Now, the New Living Translation says, But if I say I will never mention the Lord or speak his name, his word burns in my heart like fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. The fire of God should be so hot inside of us that when the enemy attacks, it automatically comes out. You know, many times when the enemy attacks and with his fire, we start wringing our hands and we start saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, all you're doing is pouring gas on the fire. You're fueling the thing. We should say immediately coming out of us should be what the Word of God says. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm always a victor in Christ Jesus. All my needs are met according to his riches in glory. I cannot go under for going over. You know, that's not the Bible, but that comes from the Bible. That's a paraphrase. That's what needs to come out of us to quench the fires of the enemy. You know, so many times when the fire comes, people say, oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm just going to throw in the towel. We got to take off the hat of human reasoning and begin to say what the Word of God says. Meditate on the Word of God till it's in your heart. The psalmist said, I've hid his word in my heart. You know, until it's a fire within inside of us. You know, Psalms 39:3. Psalms is in the Old Testament. Nowadays, some people don't know. All right, Psalms 39:3. My heart grew hot within me as I meditated, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. Another translation says, the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. You know, when you have the fire of the word on the inside of you and you're faced with the fire of the enemy, then that's what will come out. I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. I remember 1980, I guess it was. We were standing, or no, what was that? 70, when we stood around Pat's mama, huh? 1972. My grandmother, my dad's mom, was there, and she was passing the glory, and she had just passed the glory. And I never will forget this as long as I live. Dad was standing here. She was laying there right by her head. Then was Mom. Then I think it's me and Lynette. And all the family members, we were all standing around her bed. All the grandkids and some of the great-grandkids were there. And the kids. And his mom, if you know his story, how that he was sick as a child and she had helped take care of him and so forth. And I remember him standing there. And as she passed the glory, I remember I was standing here and I heard him. He started to say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" And he started just whispering it at first, quoting the word, and it got louder and louder as he quoted more scripture and more scripture. It just started to roll out of him until everybody around the room heard him. And what most of the time is a grieving scene became a rejoicing scene. Because we put the fire out. How many understand why? You understand that? That's the way it should be. Anytime the enemy brings any kind of thing to us that would put us down, make us feel bad, so forth, immediately out of us comes the word, the fire of the word. You know, you might eventually do it, but it's hard to get wet wood started in a fire. Actually, really, when you start a fire, it's easier to start a fire with, if you're out in the woods somewhere and you want to start a fire, the first thing you got to do is find some dry wood. And then you get some leaves or sticks that you call it kindling sometimes and so forth and so on. And you have to get that burning, and you get a bigger stick burning, and then you start putting more wood on there. Or you can do it the easy way. You can get that wood there, and you can pour some kerosene on it, you know, and let it sit there for a little bit and soak into that wood, and then stand back and throw a match on it. Boom, you got a fire. Well, see, that's what we need to do with the word. We need to meditate on the word. It comes inside of us. We meditating on the word. That's like letting that kerosene soak into that wood. Get it real good, because then it'll ignite. How many of you know that's so? See, we need to do the same thing with the word. It becomes a part of us. Hello. We let the word burn in our hearts as we meditate on it. And then it comes forth as a flame out of our mouth. The word is burning in your heart, then you release it out of your mouth. Jeremiah chapter 5. Anybody getting anything? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Looks like everybody's got it. Okay. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and these people would, and it shall devour them. Here it's saying that the words that are coming out of Jeremiah's mouth become like fire and burned up the things the adversaries that he was facing, burned up the works of the devil. See, the people were coming against him, and now it says that his words will be like fire. In other words, God wants our mouth to become a blowtorch. And the fire of God comes out of our mouth, the word, and annihilates everything that's coming against us. Huh. The enemy and all of his fire cannot stand against the word coming out of your mouth. But the word is not coming out of your mouth until you get it burning on the inside of you. All right. You see, the answer to the fire that's coming against you is the fire of the Word of God coming out of you. Now, the second fire that you need to get a hold of, you need the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, we find John the Baptist talking. Matthew 3:11. All right. I'm watching people turn. As soon as I see some of them down here on the front, if they've got it. Let's see. I'm looking over there on this side. See what they're doing over there. Yeah, they're still turning pages over there. What about they doing over here? Oh, they got it over here. They got it down front now. They got it over here. Okay. Here we go. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist talking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, the early church was birthed in the fire of the Holy Spirit. We are the latter church. The book of Acts did not end with chapter 28. We are still, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are still working the book of Acts. And we will be until Jesus comes back and takes the church out. Hello? See, in Acts 2, verse 1. Just turn over there a few pages, depending on how big the print is in your Bible, how many pages you're going to have to turn. If you're like my wife, you're going to turn a bunch because she got a bend on. If she's looking at her device, she's got big print. All right. Everybody found it? And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, the reason they call that the day of Pentecost, because it was the feast of Pentecost. Okay? They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, how did the early church leaders and the early church endure all of the things that they had to go through? Because you can read about it in the Bible. They got put in jail and all kinds of things happened to them. How were they able to endure that? The way they were able to go through that, because the fire on the inside of them was greater than the persecution on the outside. Hallelujah. The way you'll be able to go through all your trials and tribulations and situations is because the fire of the Holy Spirit is greater on the inside than what's on the outside. In fact, John says it over there. He says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The fire of God that's on inside of me is greater than the fire of the enemy on the outside. Oh, glory to God. Somebody ought to be getting excited about now. Hallelujah. You know, people go to watch fires. You ever notice that? I mean, two or three fire trucks can go down the street and people start following to find out, man, there must be a big fire somewhere. I gotta go see what's going on. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You just like I am. My wife said I'm the worst. How many of you have ever followed a fire truck? Hey, if you want to get people following God, you get on fire for God. Yeah. The fire of the Holy Spirit is greater than the fire of ridicule and suffering and persecution and trials and tribulations. The Holy Spirit fire is greater than anything around you. Now here's why we have to get settled. Are you going to get on fire? That's the question. Are you going to let the fire burn inside of you? You know, some people get the Holy Spirit and that's it. They never let the fire burn inside of them. They never speak in tongues again after they receive. The Bible says that you should be doing it daily. The Bible says that as you speak in tongues, you are recharging yourself. What are you doing when you speak in tongues? You're putting fuel on the fire. Putting fuel on the fire. If you feel like the fire's going out, then get somewhere and start praying in the Spirit for a while. The fire come back. You know, it's there. It's sort of like fireplace. If you don't, so many people now just have the fake logs, like me, because I got tired of taking out the ashes. But if you got the wood in the fireplace and it burns down, all you got to do is get that poker and you start poking around in there and stirring it up, and the flame jumps right back up, right? Hey, that's all that happened. A lot of times people go, hey, the fire burned down because they're not putting any fuel on it. But all you got to do is begin to speak in tongues, get somewhere and begin to speak in tongues a little bit and revitalize it. Oh, you don't have to make a spectacle. While you're driving down the road by yourself, all right, but you can be with other people and you just start speaking to yourself. You don't have to, you know, hallelujah. Come on. You know, now sometimes people get tired of fighting the fire around them. Well, if you got the Holy Spirit on the inside, you let him do it. You quit doing it, let him do it. He's greater than the enemy's fire. His fire is hotter than the enemy's fire. His fire is more powerful than the enemy's fire. Glory to God. Anybody getting excited? The fire of the Word. The fire of the Holy Spirit. They'll take care of any other fires that are out there. Now, thirdly, we need to have the fire of God's love. The fire of God's love. Turn to Revelation. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. Many people mispronounce that. They call it Revelation. No, it's Revelation. It's the revelation that John was given. So it's called the Revelation. You study that when you study Johannine literature. Because, see, John wrote, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then he also wrote the Revelation. That's Johannine literature. That's what they call it in Bible college. It's just a fancy way of saying studying the books that John wrote. Yeah, the other, see, while you're turning there, the other one they call them the Pauline epistles. Just the writings of Paul, you know. The study of pneumatology. That's the study of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it funny how we find fancy ways to say something easy? You know, one time some of the accrediting people was looking at one of our subjects, and one of They said, boy, this is a great course. It was called Practical Ministries. I used to teach that. And they said, man, we can give credit for this if you'll just change the title. Then now the syllabus is good. The material is good. All you got to do is change the title to the Theology of Practical Ministry. And we can give credit for it. Aren't we strange? All right, everybody found Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Here, the church at Laodicea, they weren't cold or hot. They weren't on fire, but they weren't completely cold either. They were in the middle. Too many Christians today are in the middle. They're not really hot, but they're not cold either. They're trying to play, and my dad used to call it playing both ends against the middle. It don't work. He said here that if you tried to play that game, he gonna kick you out. Isn't that what it said? You know, you gotta either be hot or cold. What was the problem? They had become satisfied. They didn't love God like they used to. You know, if you lose the fire of loving God and God loving you, you don't have anything left. He told them to repent. Hello now, come on. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. You know, he said they were, look at this. He said, I know your works. In other words, they had began to just be dull with their works. Now, he said repent. What does repent mean? It means change your mind and change your ways. You need to change your mind about maintaining the fire of God. Maintaining the love of God. See, you need to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. It should be the top priority. That's what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord thy God with all, everything within you, your strength, your mind, your body, everything. You know, the fire of God's love burning in your hearts will cause you to reach out to others. You will not be a selfish person if you have the fire of the love of God burning in your heart. It'll cause you to reach out to somebody. The fire of the love of God burning in you will cause you to pray for the sick. It'll cause you to lend a helping hand to somebody when you see somebody in need. Come on. You know, I like to help people. But sometimes you got these people out with these signs and you don't know whether it's real or whether it's fake anymore. Oh, about 4 years ago, I guess it was now, my wife read an article in the paper. They interviewed one of these guys and they asked him why he didn't work. He said, well, why work when I make $60,000 a year just standing on the corner? That's what he said. Now, they're not all that way, but sometimes you don't know. I mean, I was going home several years ago. There was a man standing there, had his car parked there, an old jalopy car. And he had three kids sitting on the hood and said, we're hungry, we need food. I pulled over and told him, I said, hey, you stay right here. I'm going to call my people and they're going to bring you sacks of groceries. Bill, remember I called and told him. When the people got there with the groceries, he wasn't nowhere to be found. He didn't want groceries, he didn't want money for something. You know, it'll cause you to reach out and give a helping hand. It'll cause you just to buy somebody's meal. It'll cause you standing in the line at the store and somebody don't have enough money to pay for everything that they just bought. It'll cause you to reach in your pocket. I've done it. I don't know, it wasn't too long ago. I was somewhere at a store, and Lynette had sent me to the store to get something. And I was there, and this little boy, he was just wanting a candy bar at the, you know, how they have them there by the cash register. And his mother was there with him, and she said, I'm sorry, son, I don't have any money. I reached in my pocket and give him some money and told him to buy him a candy bar. He said, oh, no. I said, no, I want to do that. I said, I want to do it. It's all right. It'll cause you to reach out to somebody. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. See, having the love of God burning in your heart will move you to be the person God wants you to be. The love fire burning on the inside of you will burn away any prejudice, bias, preferences, until you see everybody the same. Hello? Come on now. Get with me here. We're all God's people and God loves us. The love of God covers up all of that junk. Hello? You know, some people are prejudiced against some people because they seem to have more than somebody else. I had one guy tell me one time years ago, he said, I just don't like you because, he said, you drive a better car than I do. That's jealousy. Love casts that out. Now, I don't mean it's wrong, but how many of you remember, what was it, back in February 2009, wasn't it? Remember they had a celebration for my 50 years in the ministry? You remember that? And a bunch of the RMAI pastors and church members. Yeah, I was just fixing to say that. And church members, y'all had all got together and y'all bought me the car I'm driving right now. I got 130,000 miles on it. I love that car. Do you know that we lost a church member over that? He said, I just don't think a pastor ought to be driving a Mercedes. I'm serious. The love of God is not in somebody's heart like that. I don't mean that wrong, but it's the truth. Hello? You can't be jealous of other people if you have the love of God. Number one, if you are jealous of somebody else and what they got and who they are, I don't care what they look like, then you are never going to get to that point. Come on now. Hello? The love burns away prejudice and bias and preference. And what you should, hey, if you got the love of God burning, I don't care what somebody gets. Somebody getting a new car, praise God, I'm glad for you. Somebody get a new car, whoa, that's great. Somebody get a raise at a job, whoa, that's great. You know what? Now you can get one too. But if you get all huffy and puffy, I don't understand why they put them in the leadership position at church. I'm more qualified than they are. I should be in that leadership position. You're never going to get there. Because the love of God's not burning in you. See, if they put somebody in leadership position that you think you should have got, then if you want to get promoted yourself, then you help them become the best leader they can be. Where they're short, you shore up. That's what the fire of the love of God does. Whoa, that's good preaching, Pastor Hagin. Believe I'll go on preaching a little bit. No, I'm ready to wrap this up. Anybody get anything out of this? If y'all enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed preaching it, you know, sometimes when you preach a message, you preach to yourself as much as you preach to anybody else. Sometimes. let me just wrap all this up in a package and put a bow on it. You need the fire of God's word. You need the fire of the Holy Spirit. You need the fire of God's love. If you keep all of those burning bright and burning strong, you will put out all the fire of the enemy, and you'll walk in liberty and happiness, and you'll enjoy a life that I like for you to have. Because if you operate in those areas, that is the areas where I will bless you. I will move you from one place to another. But if you sit down and become satisfied with where you are at, I cannot bless you. I cannot move you forward because you're neither hot nor cold, and I can do nothing for you. But I would encourage you, saith the Spirit of God, to become hot with the fire of God. Hot with the fire of the word. Hot with the fire of my love. Hot with the Holy Spirit fire. And you'll see that you'll jump and you'll leap and you'll run and you'll be glad that you did. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody said, was that in your sermon? No. That was the Holy Spirit sermon. Everybody stand up, please. Lift your hands and thank God for the word. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for God's love. Just tell him right now, say, Lord, I want more of the love of God. I want more of the Holy Spirit burning, and I want more of the word of God, and I'll do what I need to do in order to have these things burning in my heart and burning in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. Of course, you can't have any of those things that I was talking about until you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you know what it is, but you know you're just not where you need to be and you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you say, well, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate, you need a no-so experience with God, would you please just raise your hand right now anywhere in the building, and I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hands right now. Anybody, anywhere, want to raise your hand right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need a no-so experience. I believe I see a hand back over here. I'm really having trouble seeing. Thank you, Jesus. There you go. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody else? Anybody else? You know, I was talking about the Holy Spirit. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. You know, it's not some church creed or doctrine. It's what the Bible says. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you may be here today and say, hey, I would like to receive that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit according to the Bible. Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room want to receive the Holy Spirit? There's a hand there. Thank you. I can see that one. It's down front. Glory to God. Anybody else? Listen, I'm going to go down front. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here right now. I want to shake hands with you. And I want to pray with you, just like I said I would. So come on right now. Come on right now. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand. I know about four or five hands were raised. So come on right now. Come on right now. Just come on right now. Stand right here. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand and don't want to come by yourself, God bless you. Just stand right here. Ask somebody there beside of you. They'd be glad to walk down here with you. Or if you didn't raise your hand and you want to come, come on. Come on. Just God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, and she's got her ears on. She's been translated from Spanish, from English to Spanish. Praise God. Oh, glory out to Him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Anybody else want to come? I'm going to wait a minute. Make sure we get everybody that needs to come. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you coming? Come on. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You guys, right here, I got three books. I got one called New Birth in Him. Tells you about what you have in Christ and why tongues. If I stick them out there like that, what do you got to do to get them? That's right, grab them. That's right. You got them. They're yours. Y'all all going to get those same books in just a minute. All of you going to get them. I did that as an exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual experience that you come to receive. It comes from heaven on high. And just as He reached out and grabbed those books, I want you to raise one hand. I don't care which one it is. Just raise one hand up to heaven. And with that, you're saying, all right, Lord, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Congregation, reach your hands out as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every need in these lives will be met today. I thank you for rededication. I thank you for a no-so experience with you. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. See Greg right there? He's going to take you to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually, in depth, given books and so forth and so on. But that same room on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, well, what in the world is that? Well, that's just a few classes that you go to get your life turned on to God or back on to God for a few services. So would you just turn and follow him to that place right now? Just come on. Go with her right there. There you go. Praise God. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Hallelujah. That's what it's all about right there. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, if you have friends that speak Spanish, we translate all the services right here. They can get the ear deals. They can sit anywhere in the auditorium. And they're all translated just like the young lady that came there. Praise God. That thrills me. That excites me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Come believing, come expecting. Wednesday night right here, Our Power. I'll be back Wednesday night to minister. I want you to come. Come believing, come expecting tonight and Wednesday night. Huh? Oh, connection team. Please go find those first-time guests and take them to that special place because we got a special gift. Now, it's not just, it's a special gift that we put together for you. So, connection team, come and find our first-time guests and take them to that special room. Nobody else moving unless you absolutely have to. Nobody else moving unless you have to except the staff. They're going to the doors to shake hands. I'll be going back there in a minute. They'll put it on the screen wherever we're going. There's where we go. I'm going south. Well, I was going south today. Something happened. All right, there. I'm going south. There's where the rest of them are going. There we got it. We got it back up. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we dismiss around here in case you don't know it. You should by now. Dismiss by singing a chorus. Let me get back to that south door. Tonight, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, next Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. God bless. Let's sing.
This song goes right along with what Pastor was ministering on. And I want you singing this all week. Come on, say this. For the sake. Oh.